Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Tom Otley. How are you, Tom?
Very well indeed, thank you.
Excellent. You're the, was it the editor or the owner or both?
A bit of both. No, not the owner. I'm the editor of the magazine, Business Traveller.
And you, as you said, you're part of the Business Traveller, and Business Traveller is an airline magazine.
Well, we think we're more than that, actually. I mean, a lot of what we write about is airline-related, but it's also hotel-related, ground transport, loyalty programs, and there's a lot of destination pieces in there. And not all just business travel. A lot of it's leisure travel as well. So, you know, it's a 100-page magazine most months. It comes out 10 times a year. So we cover a lot of different subjects.
The thing we're going to be talking about later on is we're going to be talking about your wine awards, because you guys do the Cellars in the Sky Wine Awards that I attended last week.
That's right, yeah, the Cellars in the Sky 2017, which is presented in 2018. The reason for that is because obviously we're judging the wines that were served last year on board the airline, so we call it the 2017 awards. It was judged in 2017. In fact, the awards are made in 2018. And they've been going since 1985, so it's 32-33 years. I'm not sure that we've done it every single one of those years between 1985, which is when the first one was, and today, but we've done it many of the years.
We'll get on to Cellars in the Sky, and we'll talk about the awards and all that sort of stuff in a bit of detail. But just quickly, a bit about yourself, Tom. I think we spoke on the Tuesday, and you said you'd worked for almost everybody under the sun.
Yeah, I've been a journalist for over 20 years, mainly in travel. I've worked for men's magazines like GQ and Loaded when it was around, and Esquire. I've also worked on newspapers, the Sunday Times and the Times, the Evening Standard, the Express. And then for the last 15 years, more or less, I've been the editor of Business Traveller, which is a consumer magazine for business travellers.
Yes, but it is positioned towards the Business Traveller itself.
Absolutely. We have two. We actually have another magazine that's aimed at the people, travel buyers. So most business travellers actually have their business travel bought for them. If you work for a big company, there'll be someone in-house who sorts out your travel. So we have one magazine aimed at those travel buyers and travel managers. But this magazine, Business Traveller, is for the consumers of business travel. And we have subscribers, but we also have people who pick it up in the lounges where it's available. Not just airline lounges, we're available at British Airways and Virgin and Emirates and lots of different lounges, but also in hotels as well. So you'll see copies pretty much wherever you travel. And it's one of 14 editions of Business Traveller. So the one we're talking about today is the UK edition, but these the editions are available around the world. So there's 14 editions. So you can see it in the US. There's a US edition, a Middle East edition, an African edition, and so on.
I presume you recycle the big articles into those and have local advertising?
Or? Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So it's some of the articles will get slightly altered to make them relevant for a particular audience. Some of them obviously get translated, so the German edition, the Hungarian edition, the Danish edition, and so on. But yes, a lot of the editorial will appear in other editions.
Okay. Some wine competitions, because Cellars in the Sky is a wine competition, they, like the International Wine Challenge, now has an Asian competition and a European competition. Do you guys have, is it one competition for Cellars in the Sky?
Yeah, we've deliberately kept it that way, partly because airlines, the nature of them, they fly everywhere. So if you're going to say, okay, British Airways have entered this, if you were then, say our American edition, wanted to judge British Airways wines, how would you go about it to make it a different result? So there are some awards that do what you've described. And to be honest, we have a separate set of awards called the Business Traveller Awards. And that is one where airlines or hotels are voted for by our readers. But that's a reflection of the fact that each magazine has got its own readership and therefore can do a readership survey of the readers of that particular magazine, say the Middle East edition or the Asia Pacific edition, and can actually find out who they rate. So the readers of the Middle East edition may well rate Emirates or Etihad Airlines or Qatar above, say, what we would rate, which might be British Airways or Singapore Airlines or whoever flies out of the UK.
Okay. Why did you guys set up Cellars in the Sky as a competition?
Well, I mean, it was originally set up in 1985, so it was before my time at the magazine. But the reason then, I imagine, is the same reason now, that it's astonishing the strong opinions that people have about the food and wine that they are served on board. In this case, we concentrate on business and first class. It's not a reflection really against the economy wines that are served or the economy food. It's just more interesting for people to read about. Obviously, the economy wines are you know, bought in huge bulk, and it's not terribly interesting for people to taste them. I think people have an expectation that if they are going to get wine in economy, it's not going to be terribly good. Will be drinkable, but not terribly good. While once you get to business class and first class, and ticket prices are going into the thousands of dollars, euros, pounds, there is more attention paid by the airlines to what they're serving, and also by the customers. And there's a lot of focus, I think, on food and wine. I mean, one of the reasons that airlines serve food and wine and have in-flight entertainment is to keep people in their seats. Yeah. Because if you imagine you've got an aircraft with 300 or 400 people, if you didn't keep people in their seats, you'd have chaos. Mm. Unintentional chaos, but it would be very chaotic for the flight attendants, and probably not that safe either. So the way of keeping people in their seats for the majority of the time is have a tray table down, put some food on it, and give them something to watch on TV. And in that way, most people are persuaded to sit for 8, 10, 12 hours on these long-haul flights, you know, and then go to sleep. Business class is slightly different because obviously you get more room, you can walk around, but the rationale is still there. You do feed these people on these long flights, and if you're going to have them with that amount of attention on what they're eating and drinking, the airlines do see it as an opportunity for what we'd call differentiation. So not just serving the same stuff that you can get in a supermarket. So at its most basic, I think most of the airlines would say they certainly in business class and first class spend quite a lot of time choosing good wines, and to that end have employed specialists to do so.
Okay. Is there any airlines that don't serve out wine or alcohol in business class?
Yes. I mean, there's dry airlines like Saudia or Kuwait Airlines. So for obvious reasons, they're not entrants to the award. And I think people flying with them accept it, and it's just one of those things. But yeah. But no, I mean, other than that, yes, they all serve it.
So it's mainly a religious thing as opposed to...
It would be in the case of those airlines, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay. I remember flying Qatar Airways years ago, like, I don't know, I'd never heard of them. I just jumped on a plane because it was the one that was available. And they were one of the ones that you could still smoke. And we flew through some very bad lightning, and the whole cabin just went blue within about 2 minutes.
With people smoking, absolutely.
I was just amazed at how quickly it just went.
I don't think there are any airlines now that do smoke. I know when I first started, there were still many business class seats that still had the old ashtray in the arm.
That's right.
But even then, I think the Japanese airlines were pretty much the last ones to give it up. But no, I don't think there are any airlines that do that. And certainly, moving back to wine, most of them do serve wine. Yeah. And spirits and beers and whatever, and soft drinks, of course.
How do people find out about the results? Because it's on your website.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the results in a minute, but they're on your website, but they're not, you know, I went looking for them. I had struggled to find the results a couple of days afterwards because I was going to cover them in our news section.
Well, I mean, it's partly a failing of the website, I suppose. I mean, most of the website...
Actually, it might have been because I might have seen 2017 thinking it was last year.
Well, that could be the reason, yeah. I mean, that is slightly confusing, but... I think it's because the website is there for many reasons. Most people are reading it for up-to-date business travel-related news. So if there's a strike or there's some kind of big bit of news or even something about a loyalty program, it may well push this off the front page. But all the results are there, and we've made an effort to put up certainly the last 10 years. And actually in the current edition, the March edition, which has these results in, you can also see on the back page we have a thing from the archive. And I've actually gone back to 1985 and 1986 to look at, you know, the first or second time that we ever did the Wine Awards. So there's a fair bit of information out there. But I also recognise the fact that while, you know, your listeners are very interested in wine, and I'm interested in wine, and many of our readers are, you couldn't claim that 100% of our readers are. So, it's kind of a reflection of that. We're very proud of the awards, and we do promote them, but we don't go completely overboard about it. How would... people know who's been successful and who's not? Well, obviously, they could look on our website, but one of the things that the airlines or the successful airlines can do is take the logo and put it on their wine menus. And certainly, I have no control over that. And if they ask for the logo, they can, you know, they can put it on their wine menus. I have seen that when I've been flying around and opened a menu and suddenly seen our logo on there saying they want a silver or a gold, which is obviously a nice thing to do. And once again, isn't something that we earn money from. I think there's often quite a bit of justified cynicism when it comes to awards. But this isn't a revenue exercise for us. We don't earn money from it. It's certainly not a profit centre. There's an admin cost to the airline £100 for entering, but it doesn't come close to covering the cost of what the awards cost for us to put on. And we don't sell the logo, which you hear sometimes, to other airlines, to airlines, so they can promote it. So so I guess if you're flying with an airline and you see the logo, then that's how you'd find out they'd won an award.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's have a quick look at some of the awards. You've got an overall winner, haven't you?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Well, now you're gonna test me because I'll have to look through the magazine myself. I mean, the one thing I would say is that, again, with the sort of cynicism that perhaps some people have, these wine awards aren't judged by us, Business Traveller. I mean, I like wine, but I'm not a wine judge. So there are five different judges, four of whom are masters of wine, and the head judge, Charles Metcalfe, who's also co-chairman of the International Wine Challenge, and they do a double blind test for these wines. So yeah, they don't know what wines they are, and they also don't know what airlines they're coming from. And there were 32 airlines, I think, who entered it this year. So, you know, that's the kind of the methodology.
Just our listeners may know them, and we've spoken to a few of the judges in the past.
Yep.
And we're going to talk to one of them in the future.
Sure.
Who are the judges?
This year, they always change slightly because of availability, and mm-hmm. it takes them 2 days of tasting, two solid days of tasting these five judges. The judges are Charles Metcalfe, Tim Atkin, Master of Wine, Richard Bamfield, yep, Sarah Abbott, and Peter McCombie. They're all masters of wine, just so I didn't keep repeating that.
Sarah Abbott and Peter McCombie are the only two we haven't had on the show.
Okay.
But I'm hopefully going to catch up with Peter later on in the week. So we'll have him on the show at some point. So excellent, excellent. So you're saying that there's different competitions. You put the competition into sort of first class and business class as separate competitions.
Yeah, so the way, I mean, the methodology we could talk about for half an hour, and I'm sure there'll be some people who are interested in it, but broadly, we pick the best business class wines and the best first class wines. And the way that they do that is they go through, as you'd imagine, if you take first class first, they do first class red, best first class red, and they do a gold, silver, and bronze, best first class white, sparkling, and a fortified and dessert. And then they do a best overall seller, and that's where, you know, they look at the overall scores that people have scored in 1, 2, 3 in across all those categories. They also present, and this is a new one over the last few years, the best presented wine list, which sounds like a bit of a, you know, sort of a wooden spoon award, but actually the opposite, because, you know, many, many airlines are the national airline, and they see themselves as promoting the country. Yep. So, for instance, classically, Air New Zealand do a good job of presenting New Zealand wines and would always make a real effort in the wine, in the menus, to make sure that people understood where the wines were coming from, what was so great about New Zealand and New Zealand wine. So we felt over the years, the amount of effort that some of the people who were choosing wines for airlines went to then educate the customer, or at least tell them about the wines and why they chose them, and what it, you know, what perhaps food pairings would work with it, that we thought it worthwhile, you know, celebrating that as well. So as well as choosing the best wines in these awards, we also do best presented wine list in both first class and business class.
Okay.
And then we do the same for business class. So as you can imagine, there's a best business class red, white, sparkling, fortified dessert, and a best business class seller as well.
We won't go into the details of what one. We'll probably cover that in the news this
sure.
week.
Uh-huh.
But who was the best first class wine?
The best seller was Qantas. So gold, in reverse order, gold was went to Qantas for best first class seller. Silver was Air France, and bronze was Oman Air, which might surprise people. And
yeah.
then in business class, the best seller was Singapore Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
Silver was British Airways, and bronze was Iceland Air. So you can see six different airlines in first and business. The best overall seller was Singapore Airlines, Air France, and Qantas.
Okay, Air France didn't appear in the top for first class or business, but they made a silver.
Exactly, and that's a reflection. When you have the full results in front of you, you can see things like, for instance, best business class sparkling. They got a silver there with Charles Heidsieck champagne. So it's a way of, you know, that thing of, oh, we did very well, but we missed, say, we got nothing but bronzes. But overall consistency, I think, plays a big part. It's also a reflection that you don't want the winners to simply have put one really good wine in, or maybe two or three really good wines, and sort of trumped it that way.
Yeah.
So they try and be as fair as possible.
And is there much control? Like, is there much gaming of the competition? You know, people will put wines in for a short period of time or something like that. Or...
Yeah, well, it's in the rules. I mean, we often thought about that. And when we were rejuvenating the awards about 10 years ago, we did obviously have a lot of feedback from the people who choose the wines. And, you know, one of the classic ones was, well, what's stopping someone doing that? Just picking a particular route, putting absolutely fabulous wines on that route, entering the awards, winning it. And, of course, most readers and most passengers would never see those wines. So in the methodology, which is detailed in the article, you know, we do make sure, and in the rules, we do make sure, and we do ask them to only submit wines that are widely available, and there's, you know, what the definition of widely available is. You know, it's a difficult one because obviously airlines are vastly different in range and size. So someone like, for instance, Icelandair has obviously got a smaller network than Delta or American Airlines or Emirates. But then perhaps their budgets are smaller, for all we know. So, I mean, that would be an internal thing for them. So I think you can... I wouldn't say you can't do wine awards with a pinch of salt, can you? But you have to think of them in a certain way. So we've tried to be as fair as possible, and certainly the judging process is fair. I'm fairly confident that the airlines aren't cheating in the sense of only putting in their very best wines that aren't available, because in the end that would upset the readers and the passengers. And also, if you going back to what I said about them putting the logo in their menu. They can't put the logo in the menu if the wine isn't available. So it would be, they'd say, oh, we won with putting Krug on, for instance, but they never serve Krug. Well, they'd quickly be unmasked. And also, there'd be no benefit for them to do so because you can't trumpet an award that for a wine that you very rarely or never serve.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's fair enough. I noticed at the awards, Singapore Airlines seemed to be the one that people were expecting to win a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
They got the first four best business class, didn't they?
They got best business class seller, although in best first class seller they weren't in the top three. So, you know, it just depends. I know that from speaking to them that they've put a particular focus on the wines that they're serving. You know, these things differ from one airline to another, and it's a cyclical thing. You'll have a period where some very well-known wine experts are employed by airlines to help them choose their wines.
Yep. Albeit I think they had Oz Clark, don't they?
They have. They've had Oz for quite a long time. And to be fair, Oz has been a judge in the past for these awards, although he wasn't this year. And when he was judging them, he recused himself, obviously, from certain judgments. But he also did, I think, SAS at one point, and I think he's even done a cruise company at one point. So... yeah, I mean, there's, I don't know, you know how many masters of wine and how many judges there are. There's only a few hundred. That's why it's such a fantastic qualification to have. But Singapore Airlines do, at the moment, not just Oz, I think there's someone else involved as well. So they've put a focus on it, and yeah, I would say it's paid dividends for them on this occasion, certainly when it comes to business class anyway.
I've got a friend who works with South African Airways.
Okay.
And I did some work with them just to help them choose their wines for the competition. It was all very relaxed. But he felt he was a little bit disadvantaged because they show South African wines, whereas some of the winners, like Singapore Airlines, can choose, they don't have a wine industry themselves, so they can just choose the best of breed from anywhere in the world. And even some wine producing countries had French wines in it, like America, I think, had some French wines for their whites and reds, American Airlines, etc. So there was a real, some countries seem to take the wines from anywhere and some seem to focus on their own country.
Yeah. Yeah, or some do both. I mean, you know, I think that is a point, but the point that was made by the judges, and they make it every year and they made it again this year, was that New World wines stand up better in general to flying at this altitude than Old World. And if you look at the business class wines, and these are the ones that won, the best business class red was from McLaren Vale, South Australia, so New World. The best business class white, Yarra Valley, Victoria, Australia, New World. Then you've got, well, champagne is champagne. And then in the business class fortified dessert, again, it was a Baileys of Glenrowan Founder Series Classic Muscat, Victoria, Australia. So if it were just a case of simply spending money and buying, you know, classic French wines, I guess that would be a point. But it's clearly New World wines that do very well in the sky. And without going into the whole kind of palate and tannins and that sort of thing. That's spoken about by the judges in the article that we've written. Going to the point, the specific point that you know, if you're from South Africa, you feel that you have to pick South African wines, I would absolutely encourage that. I think anyone flying South African or New Zealand or Qantas would expect, you know, a significant proportion of the wines to come from those fantastic wine destinations. And of course, what a huge advantage South African has, having those, you know, relationships with the growers there.
Yep.
I mean, certainly Air New Zealand didn't actually enter this year, but certainly in the past when they did, and they did well, I know that other airlines would say, well, they've got a significant advantage there because they've got all those fantastic wineries, plus they're not the biggest airline in the world, so they can spend a lot of money on it, and they spend a lot of money on it because they market the destination. So you can see it both ways. I mean, the argument, I suppose, for South African is, you know, if they have got the budget, they can get the absolute best South African wines, and they are going to be world beaters. You know, we all drink South African wines,
very nice.
So I think it's a budget thing, and that, you know, all the airlines suffer from or have to be within a certain budget, because they'll be, you know, set that way, you know, by the airline, whoever's running the airline. But I think there's plenty of airlines that have a bigger problem, which is, you know, if you're British Airways or Virgin, I mean, British Airways serves some British wines, sparkling wines, and maybe a white, but obviously for the majority of its routes, it tries to pick wines of the destination it's going to. So a lot of BA's flights go transatlantic. So they try and pick wines from the Americas for that reason. And, you know, the same for Virgin. Virgin, I think, gets its wines through Berry Brothers. So a similar thing, you know, they've got their budget, and they just try and, you know, pick the best they can.
Perfect.
Most of this stuff is behind a subscription barrier. So the magazine is obviously a subscriber's magazine, but actually the awards are free to look at. So if people do want to know more about the wines that were chosen this year, and also compare them with what was chosen the year before and the year before, they can find the results on businesstraveler.com, and it's free to look at. And, you know, you can enjoy and disagree and read some of the comments on the bottom, because people you know, have some very strong opinions.
Always, mate, always. Thanks very much, Tom.
Thank you.
Cheers.